A pair of big international conferences are getting underway in the coming days. They are among the top global stories coming up. And with me via Skype for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, let's start with the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, which is meeting for a regional summit. Why is this such a big deal for the international community?
Well, Mark, this meeting is not really about who's going to be there. It's about who's not going to be there. Now, the ASEAN is made up of 10 members: Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. And the one that's not going to be there is Myanmar. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the other 9 members of ASEAN said that a representative of the military junta would not be welcome at the summit. And this really was an unprecedented step for ASEAN. It normally favors a policy of engagement rather than punishment. It doesn't interfere with domestic matters. But foreign ministers from these remaining 9 countries said that this step was necessary and that Myanmar hadn't done enough to restore peace in the country after the military seized control earlier this year. And the reason this is significant for Myanmar is the military leader there, General Min Aung Hlaing, was kind of hoping this summit would be an opportunity to gain some international recognition. Now, there is a bit of a backstory to know about here as well. When Myanmar joined the ASEAN in 1997, it was under military rule at the time. And it was generally considered that bringing Myanmar into the group would put slow, gentle, diplomatic pressure on the military to end their rule and to have peaceful democratic elections. Now that happened. It arguably worked. Myanmar was a success story of the ASEAN. It paved the way for elections, it opened up foreign investment, and everything was ticking along nicely until that military takeover earlier this year. Those widespread arrests, those killings of protesters. This has once again put the pressure back on ASEAN as to how it acts and reacts when it comes to Myanmar. And most of the countries in the world think ASEAN is the only way forward. They look at ASEAN as being pretty much the single solution as to how to resolve the problem in Myanmar. So we're going to have to wait and see how these talks go on Wednesday, with Myanmar not invited, but definitely high on the agenda.
Interesting. All right, Rich, from Southeast Asia now to Africa. Tomorrow, a draft bill is being debated in Parliament in Ghana under the guise of family values, but which many say will introduce some of the harshest anti-LGBTQ laws in Africa. What is happening there?
Yeah, and this is no understatement, Mark. Let me walk you through this. The bill is called the Promotion of Proper Human Sexual Rights and Ghanaian Family Values Bill, so bit of a mouthful. If it's passed in its current form, it could see LGBT Ghanaians sent to jail or forced to undergo conversion therapy, which of course has been widely debunked by the international medical and psychiatric communities. But the bill goes further than just these individuals themselves. Advocates of LGBT communities could face up to a decade in prison. Friends, colleagues, neighbors, anyone who supports an LGBT individual could face prison time themselves. Certain types of medical support, such as hormone therapies, would be made illegal. Distribution of material deemed pro-LGBT by news organizations would also be illegal. Mark, if you and I were having this conversation on Ghanaian radio, we would be facing jail time.
Wow.
And it goes one step further than that as well. It calls on Ghanaians to inform on those they suspect of being LGBT, picking up the phone, calling the police and reporting your neighbor for being lesbian, gay, bisexual or transgender. Now, homosexuality is currently illegal in Ghana. The thing is, it's rarely implemented. And if it is, it varies in different parts of the country as to how the law is interpreted and applied. So the people pushing through this bill say that this is about bringing everything together and having one rule for the entire country. Now, LGBT people in Ghana do already receive harassment, abuse, and intimidation, but the people behind this bill say this is about family values. They call themselves moral warriors. Now, Ghana generally portrays itself as being young, vibrant, forward-thinking, progressive. And this, of course, raises serious questions over that image. It has been called a homophobe's dream, and that's being debated tomorrow.
All right. And finally, Rich, on Sunday, COP26 gets underway in Glasgow. And the news coverage, of course, has been building up about this. But what exactly is COP26 and what are we looking to get out of it?
Well, Mark, the easiest way to describe COP26 is it's the sequel to the Paris Climate Conference of 2015. That was COP21. That was where all world leaders gathered together and agreed to implement measures to reduce global warming. Now, the agreement was that global warming would be limited to well under 2 degrees but with an aim of no more than 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial averages. Now, COP21 in Paris in 2015 was seen as huge and significant. The United Nations has been running these events for 30 years, these COP events, Conference of the Parties it stands for. And one of the agreements in Paris was that they would, countries would get together and renew and review their promises every 5 years. So COP26 is the first time that's happened since the agreement of Paris 2015. Now, under the Paris Agreement, every country committed to making these national plans as to how they would reduce their emissions. These are known as nationally determined contributions, or NDCs. Now, remember that, because you are going to be hearing a lot about NDCs over the coming week. That's every country's individual plan. So COP26 is all about renewing these plans. And that's in part because the plans made in Paris didn't go far enough. Most scientists say that more needs to be done. So COP26 is seen as being decisive in being harder, firmer, and more drastic on that front. Now, there are three goals that you want to watch out for with COP26. One is those NDCs. The second goal is finalizing what's called the Paris Rulebook. Now, those are the rules that countries will stick to in order to achieve the goals they set out in Paris. And the third one, and a major one, is funding. One of the contentious issues during the Paris negotiations was between the developed and developing world. And that's because of the anomaly that the developed world is the one that generally spews out most fossil fuels, but the countries that are impacted by global warming tend to be the developing world, which are the countries that can't afford to as quickly replace their energy supplies or deal with the effects of climate change, such as extreme weather. And in Paris, there was lots of pressure on the developed world to stump up the cash to help the developing world. And there was an agreement that $100 billion would be raised every year to finance climate support for the developing countries. So in Glasgow, they want a reassurance on that commitment and, if possible, a promise of more money. Events get underway on Sunday.
All right. Lots to watch for, as always. That is the BBC's Rich Preston in London. Rich, good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Mark. Thanks.